Now listen, I believe that the Jesus life is possible. You and I can really think, talk, act, love more like Jesus. He never asked anybody to accept him. He asked everyone to follow him with the understanding that in following we would become like the one we follow. So the question is this: is that what you really want? Because consequences come from becoming like Jesus. Perhaps you've heard the story of the teenage boy who turned 16, approached his father about the possibility of getting help to get a car. Father said, "Son, before I would help you get a car, you would need to make some changes in your life." The boy said, "Well, what changes?" The father said, "Well, you need to raise your grades. You need to get a job. You're going to need to cut off all that long hair." 3 months later, the boy again approached his father about the possibility of him helping him to get a car. And the father said, "Son, I thought we agreed that you needed to make some changes." And the boy said, "I think I have, Dad. I've raised my grades from a C+ to an A- in all of my classes. I've gotten a job and I've been working at it now for months, and my boss thinks that I am a great employee." The father said, "Yes, son, but I see that you still have all that long hair." The boy replied, "Dad, you know that Bible that you and Mom gave me for Christmas? Well, I was flipping through it. I saw a picture of Jesus. Jesus had long hair, Dad." The father said, "Yes, he did. And he walked everywhere he went, didn't he?" So again, I ask, how much do you really want to be like Jesus? What has happened is that we have many people who have settled for what the culture calls a Christian. You can be Christian in this culture and not have to be anything like Jesus. That's not what we want here at this church. Our goal is to not get a bunch of people inside a room who like Jesus. Our goal is to get people here who are becoming like Jesus. The win is fellowship. And we've looked through this series at what it really means to follow Jesus. We talked about worship, following up. Last week we talked about living in community, following around. And today we're going to talk about service, follow through. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to follow through and serve. Because Jesus said of himself, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And the great irony is that many Christians pick a church for the exact opposite reason. They do not pick a church to serve in. They pick a church because they think it will be a good place to be served. And in consumer cultural Christianity, what you have is a church marketplace where pastors drive themselves crazy trying to keep whiny people happy so they won't take their membership to the franchise down the road where they can get served better. Now, it's not wrong to go to a church where your needs are met. It is wrong when the church condones the "it's all about me" paradigm that has infected our culture. So I'm suggesting that when someone comes to our church and investigates the possibility about being a part of what God is doing here at our church, the first thing we ought to do is say, "You need to lose the me in membership." Because if we are doing the church the way Jesus taught, it's not all about me. But it is very hard to practice self-denial in a culture that is obsessed with self-absorption. Let me give you an illustration. 2 years ago, what word did the Oxford English Dictionary choose as the word of the year in 2013? It increased over 17,000%. I've already heard it a couple of times this morning. The word is selfie. A selfie is when you take your phone and you take a picture of yourself to share with the world who needs to know more about you. It's all about making you the center of everything to show the world. So let me take a moment and take a selfie. Every day, the prevailing current is taking us in the direction of self-centeredness. And Jesus is constantly calling his followers to go against that flow. So, for example, in Mark chapter 9, they came to Capernaum. And it says, when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." Jesus did not say it's wrong to do something great in your life. It is wrong to want to be great the world, the way the world recognizes greatness. The world recognizes greatness from the top down. Jesus said in the kingdom of God, it's from the bottom up. The self virus is so strong that after 3 years of ministry with Jesus in seminary, they still show symptoms up to the very end. So it's the Last Supper. You can read about it in Luke 22. It's the last meal before Jesus is going to go to the cross, and they are still arguing about self-importance. And this time Jesus responds by following through. Now think about it. If there was ever a moment in anybody's life where they should and could focus on what they were about to go through, this would be it for Jesus. If there's ever a moment to be self-focused, this had to be it. But read with me in John 13. It says this. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. Instead of grasping for a position that he could legitimately claim, he grabbed a towel. So I'm going to ask you again, do you want to be like Jesus? Because there are some very simple things you are going to have to grasp. Number one, write this down. Servant is my identity. We are not just following Jesus because he came our way, but because of the way he came. Because when he came down, he really came down. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, "But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." He didn't come greater than everybody, although he was. He came less than anybody. The path of fellowship always goes downhill. There are many job descriptions in the kingdom of God, but there is just one title: servant. When you said, "I will follow Jesus," you signed up for full-time 24/7 service. And I'm not talking about a career. I'm not talking about signing up for a program. I'm talking about a redefinition of your very self. It's not so much what you are called to do. It is who you are called to be. Stop calling it ministry. And start calling it Tuesday. You don't take on and then put off the servant cap. It never comes off. Is servant your identity? Or is it just a cap you wear? I'll tell you how you know. Who are you when nobody notices? When nobody applauds? When nobody says thank you? Well, if you keep following through, then you are a follower of Jesus. Because you understand that service is your responsibility. Fellowship is more than just the absence of badness. It is the presence of active goodness. In other words, when Jesus called you and said, "Follow me," he wasn't saying, "Stop that, stop that, stop that." He was saying, "Do this, do this, do this." It is not just what he has called you away from. It is what he has called you into. You were not just saved from, you were saved for. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." One of my core beliefs is the priesthood of all believers. Ministry and service is not for some special class of people. Service is for every single person enrolled in following Jesus' class. We are all priests. We have shifted from consumer to contributor. To this end, every believer of Jesus has been filled with the very same Holy Spirit and supernaturally gifted to serve. Same spirit, not always the same way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." When I was young, I played sports. I remember playing soccer. I played Little League baseball. I even played some pickup football in the street. But the reality was, I was not very good. I was a lot better at watching than playing. But here is the cool thing about Jesus' team. Everybody plays. When Jesus gave you a jersey, it was never his intention that you would sit in the stands and watch the game. The win is when you help somebody else score. Stephen Colbert, well-known comedian, gave a commencement address at Northwestern University where he graduated from. He said, "When I graduated college, I got involved in a famous improv comedy team here in Chicago. Here's the thing I learned about improv. You can never think in the moment that the scene is about me. In improv, you have to be thinking about how you can set up and make the other person more important." And then he said, "Life is a lot like improv. And every day you wake up and life throws you an audible. And you have to improvise. You don't win life by thinking how you can win for yourself. You win life by thinking how I can make someone else win." So you have this basin of water, and you will either do life washing your hands like Pilate, saying, "I'm out of here. or you will grab the towel, like Jesus. You see, serving is our priority. Why did Jesus wash their feet? What deep, mystical, profound, complicated theological motivation was Jesus trying to illustrate? Why did Jesus wash their feet? Do you want to know why? Because they were dirty. And when you are a servant and you see a need, you respond. That's what Jesus sends us into the world to do. He did not send us into the world to just force our values and our faith onto the world. He said, you're not going to do it top down. You're going to do it bottom up. And we live in a day and age where people are skeptical of faith, particularly the Christian faith. Because, like I said in the very first sermon of this particular series, people have seen Christians who look nothing like Jesus, so they just reject the whole thing. So our witness cannot be primarily propositional. It is going to have to be observational. Here's why. Because there is no effective rebuttal to service. If the church lives like the church should live, she will always be going against the flow of culture. And she will always get pushback. Here's what the Holy Spirit says to the servant Peter in chapter 2 of his first letter. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. The greatest apologetic, the greatest argument against the pushback and the skepticism of culture is to live as servants of God. Because there is no effective rebuttal to service. It is hard for us to believe that service could matter that much. Because nobody's clapping. Nobody's liking us on Facebook. But listen, we need to take a higher view of what happens when we go low. I want you to look at this picture on the screens. Simon Beck is an artist who lives in France. For exercise, he liked to run, but he had an injury and his feet were damaged, so he could not run anymore. So he put on snowshoes and he said, I'll just trudge through the snow to get my exercise. But remember, he's an artist. So he got to thinking, what would happen if he became a little more intentional? So you look at this picture and you think, what on earth is he doing? But take the high view. Every single step matters. Every single step is part of a bigger picture that you can see from above. I believe that Jesus releases an army of servants into the world, and every step is creating a masterpiece for God. For a very long portion of my wife's life, every step of every day was doing dirty dishes, 3 loads of laundry, giving baths to 2 rambunctious little boys. And there were many days and many times that she wondered if she was making a difference. She just kept taking a step. And I have to tell you, I could not be more proud of the man that my son Jacob has become. And that is in large part because of the masterpiece his mother helped to work out in his character and in his life through the power and working of Jesus Christ our Lord. For some of you, that step is just being kind to the waitress who really isn't doing that great of a job. Or being patient with that clerk who is checking you out, and they seem very frazzled. So you give them a smile and a kind word, and you just keep taking a step. For some of you, being there to honor your father and your mother when they don't even know who you are anymore. I know of a young family who's caring for their mother. She doesn't know any of them because of the disease of Alzheimer's. If we truly embrace the value of taking those steps, we would make the Lord Jesus more beautiful to a very skeptical world. Peter writes in chapter 4 of his first letter, "If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." So I ask you again, do you really want to be like Jesus? Then get rid of the me in member and keep the low in follow. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, you are going to have to go low. You're going to have to get your hands dirty. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Forgive anyway. Go low. That kid in school, he's awkward. None of the cool kids want him to be near their table at lunchtime. Go low. Get your hands dirty. I've included in the back of your sermon sheet a list of good works that you can do. This is by no means an exhaustive list or what you need to do, but it is to give you an idea of certain activities that I believe you need to be involved in. Nate Onimus originally talked to me about this about a month ago. And what I'm trying to do is give you enough ideas to do one act of service every day for the next 25 days that are leading up to Christmas. The challenge, I believe, in that, and even in what Miles is proposing, this is a perfect time for you to grab one of those sacks and do the business of going low. The challenge is for you to go low through these holidays, to get your hands dirty if you want to be like Jesus. The path of fellowship, it always goes downhill. And it is worth it because at the end of the path, you're going to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I get asked all the time, "Pastor, where does your church meet?" That is a complicated question. I could say at the corner of Southeast 3rd and Army Post Road, but that is just where my church meets a couple hours every week. Where is my church? In offices, in houses, in factories, in schools, in construction sites. Our church is all over this city taking steps to follow Jesus, and you need to get in the game. The Jesus life really is possible, but you have to follow Jesus. So take the step today to be the servant he wants you to be. We're going to sing a song.